I don't know if I'll be able to talk or not, but I'm glad to be here, folks. If anybody had an excuse not to be in church, I could have used one. But I wanted to come and praise the Lord. If you think about those words, if you come close to death a few hours before that, you use those words on that song, you realize, wow, life is a gift. Folks, it was just a regular day. I went up to the mountain.
Now, John, I think everybody remembers last week when I was holding one of those, and I'm going to try to get you to make sure you keep it here because I think everybody wants to hear you. And okay. So keep that close.
I was going up there by myself. I've got a lawnmower up there that I use like a bush hog because I usually let the grass and everything go till it's 3 or 4 foot high. Well, I had used it a couple weeks before, and briars and all that were up underneath it. So I started up and backed out of the little pavilion where I keep it there. And when I went to put the PTO on, it went halfway around and then stopped. So I said, well, there's weeds and stuff stuck up underneath here. And I got a couple little ramps right there. And so you still can't see up in there. And so I reached my arm up there and start pulling out briars. And, well, about the third time, my third handful, man, I said, boy, that was one bad briar. And I thought it was just, you know, I got caught in there because it had some, they weren't just holes like a regular rattlesnake would be. And so I stick my hand back up in there like a really intelligent person. And so I'm pretty sure it got him twice. It took 36 vials of antivenom just to neutralize it. And the average is, I don't know, 12 to 15 or something like that. So anyhow, so I was going to kill the snake, right? I mean, I'm... We don't always make good decisions under pressure, folks. But... So I got this broom handle, and I looked underneath there, and I could see his eyes looking at me. And so I got the broom handle, and I'm beating on the top of the deck there. Just said, he'll come out, and then I'll be able to hit him and get him. Well, his head stuck out, and so I pinned it against the side, and then my lips started tingling, and my hands started tingling, and my feet started tingling. Tingling. There we go. And so I dropped the broom and said, he'll get you another day. And little did I know that there probably wasn't going to be another day. I got in my Subaru, and it's a mile dirt road. Some of you have been up there, and it's all rocks. And I put that thing at 50 miles an hour, and I flew over rocks. The car's still up there. I don't know if it'll make the trip home. It'll probably need a new front end because I flew. And my neighbor is right at the end of the dirt road there, and fortunately she was home. And I got out of the car, pulled right up to as close as I could, and by that time I'm staggering. I couldn't feel my feet, and I'm staggering and could hardly breathe. And I'm just hollering, Danny, that's my neighbor's name. Well, he was gone, but Patricia was there, and she came out, and she had her hair wrapped up in a towel. She was getting ready to go to work. She just got in a bathrobe on, and she helped me up the steps, sat me down. She says, well, what can I do? I said, well, I don't know. Do you have some Benadryl? I didn't come to find out later, there is nothing you can do for snake bite. Even a, whatever, tourniquet. What it can do is if you put the tourniquet on there, your hand will die, and you'll lose your hand, but I guess that's better than your whole body dying. So anyhow, she called, and already I could barely catch my breath. I mean, I was just struggling for every breath. And it was at that point, because the ambulance in Winchester, I've taken that trip many times, and even when I'm breaking the record, breaking speed limits, it takes over 20 minutes to get there. And so I'm thinking, it's already been about 10 or 15 minutes, and the rate this thing going down, I probably am not going to make it to the hospital. So I had a serious discussion with Jesus. You know, most of us probably are not going to have enough time to have a final prayer before we go, because we're usually not even given that much time. Love you, Jesus. I'm coming. I'm not aware of any, but if there are some sins that I haven't confessed, forgive me. I love you, Jesus. I'm coming to see you. kind of lost track of time. I don't know how much time we got there, but the ambulance came and they put me in the ambulance. I remember them with these scissors and knives cutting my clothes off. And we're racing down to Winchester, and every part of my body just went numb. All my body fluids, you don't have much of an imagination to realize it all left from every possible opening. And I was apologizing to the nurse, to the guy there. I'm sorry, man, I made a mess, and I'm throwing up everything. And so that's the last I remember. And I blanked out before I got to Winchester. And so what they had done is they had put me in a coma, medicated coma, and put the breathing tube in, put me on life support, on breathing. So there, when they got to the hospital, I was told that they put in 6 vials of the anti-venom. Snake bites are different than any other type. They hit the immune system, and the EpiPen and that kind of thing. But I've learned a whole lot about snake bites. It is neat because the study of Revelation, you realize that the major event in Revelation is Satan getting kicked out of heaven, the battle between him and Michael, and the accuser of your brethren is kicked out of heaven, and now your time is short. He realized his time is short. That's when he attacks everybody that he hates, especially Jews and Christians. And so what happens is the venom attacks both your nervous system to make you numb and your blood system, the red blood cells, so that you are no longer getting oxygen, nutrition, anything to your body. And so if, like a snake, when he does that, then his enemy can't go very far, and that's his meal. So everything's going from the nervous system, everything shuts down. But they watch the closest is your blood, and so every couple hours they would draw blood, even with the antivenom, because the antivenom actually comes from the venom. They have to milk the poison from the snakes. But the antivenom has a shorter half-life; it lasts shorter than the actual venom. So they have to keep adding it to it, so that by the end to get it neutralized. Folks, there's still a battle going on right here in my hand. You can feel that it's hot and feverish, and there's still an opening for one of the bites where it's still oozing out, because I guess those are the casualties of war in there. You know, one's killing the other, but actually my hand looks good now compared to what it did. The swelling's going down, but I want to show you a piece of art. Can you see that?
Yep, there.
Well, that's kind of what the whole thing looked like before that time. It's gone down a whole lot. I think one of the medics or something got bored and was putting a tattoo on my arm. I'm not sure what what all that writing is back there, but I didn't ask him. So, all right. let me just tell you what the Lord has taught me, and I'll not take all morning. Let's see, I have 3 points in a poem.
Okay.
I don't have a poem, but I do have a song. For the last 2 or 3 weeks, this song has been on my heart, mainly because my oldest daughter, Julie, almost died when lupus attacked her brain some 8 or 10 years ago, and that became her song. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. But the last verse is what became very special to me. When I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Folks, we never know when we get up in the morning. It may be your last day. And so point number one, be ready. Be ready. You may not have enough time to talk to the Lord before it's time to go. And when you meet him, you want to hear him say, good job. Well done. And so your goal as a Christian, be ready. Be ready. I don't want to get in by the fire escape. I want to get in there, and the Lord be just proud of that I've served him. The other one is be bold. When I was in there, there were people coming in. I was telling them about Jesus. I didn't care what they thought. You know what? Some of them were Christians. They took it. Some of them weren't. They ignored it. But hey, people around there heard about Jesus. When I was leaving, the gal that, a young lady, was wheeling me out to meet Jill had gone to get the car. So we're waiting there for about 5 minutes. I said, well, I might as well talk to her about Jesus. And she, and I never did get her name. I wish I'd have got her name because I met some other Christians in there that probably could have connected with her. But she said, well, my folks didn't have any particular view and they didn't care about us kids. We could do whatever we wanted. Well, in about 5 minutes, I shared the gospel with her. But then after, I'm thinking, boy, I should have said this. I should have said that. And I should have got her name. But hey, she heard that Jesus rose from the dead. She heard that. And so, be bold. Be bold. Hey, Jesus said, if you love me, you're going to be persecuted. We're spoiled. We're spoiled. And when you're close to death, after that, nothing else really scares you a whole lot. Be bold. Be watching. Listen, we have a terrible enemy, and he's smart, and he's cunning. He's crafty. I've shot a lot of, I've got rattlers from a number of different rattlesnakes in my trophy case. I've killed a bunch of them, but one snuck up on me. Yeah, I put my guard down, should be ready, watching. Satan wants to destroy the church. He wants to destroy your faith. And if he can't destroy your faith, he'll destroy your life. Be watching. Don't let them get the upper hand on you. A couple of folks, a number of them, mentioned to me, some were family members, well, don't you think this is the Lord telling you you shouldn't be going to Honduras? There's 3 weeks I'm supposed to be going to Honduras. And I kind of thought about it, but never did give them an answer. And one thing, I am stubborn, so I have to be kind of careful, and I am determined, and I don't like to lose. I'm very competitive. And by the way, being competitive, I don't know if you saw that arm. Do you want to see what it really looks like? That's the old scrawny one. It's still swollen up, but that's what I looked like 50 years ago. But I'm, you know, and so yesterday when I went to the doctor, and he was a Christian there in Ulua, and didn't ask him what flavor. But he said, you know, maybe this is the Lord telling you shouldn't be going to Honduras. And after I've been praying about this, thinking about it, and I said, you know what? The Lord wants me to go to Honduras. Satan doesn't. And if I can walk and if I can talk, I'm going to Honduras. So pray that I can walk and talk. The walk and talk doesn't help if you can't talk.
Well, let me pray for you right here. Well, let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for John, and we're grateful that you brought him here years ago, and just the spirit of Christ that lives in him and just flows out of him in every conversation and every kind act, and how his heart is always looking to do your will and to show your love and to spread your truth. And we're grateful for him. We're grateful for that lady being home. We're grateful for everything that fell in place for his life to be preserved. And we do all believe that you have a special purpose for John. And we're grateful for that to be continuing, and we pray that you'll bless him and every conversation he has, and especially in this trip to Honduras coming up. But we thank you, and we're grateful. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.